When I was dressed,
you're on the wrong.
No, yeah, 104. Wrong. I remember the time.
104.
Yeah, they six.
Hang up here.
No, you
never.
I'm
I remember the time
when
darkness I wandered
farther from home,
on the mountain of sin,
on the mountain of sin,
I went so long,
I traveled so long,
like the prodigal son,
sadly I'd grown,
but the Savior came in,
but the Savior came in,
and he gave
me a song, was a beautiful song, I can take you to the where the Lord saved me, my wonderful grave, my wonderful grave, but I can't tell you how.
Man here to sing it, amen. Like I said, when it comes to singing, I'm at a loss, a terrible loss. We do have some singers here tonight, and I rejoice even at the thought. I can't sing, but I thank God for those that can. I enjoy singing, and I can't remember this brother's name, but him and his wife come to sing with us tonight. If I tried to guess it, I'd mess it up. I'd like to ask him to come right now and share with us songs the Lord put on their heart. Let them introduce themselves. Like I said, I had a loss here. I can't remember your name.
It's Brother Rick's mom and dad here again.
Brother Rick's?
Yeah, you know.
Richard Doss?
No, Rick. Bailey.
Rick Bailey. Okay, one. You sing bass here. Yeah, Brother Rick Bailey. Okay. Takes me a while to put two and two together, but I got them together. Amen. Y'all come on up.
That's all right.
Yeah, Brother Rick Bailey. Bless his heart. Bless his memory.
Still miss our Rick. Probably yeah. Always will.
Amen, sister. Amen.
Well, now, we're not professionals now.
No.
That's all the kind of God looks for, the ones that ain't.
We're not professionals, Will. We might goof up a little bit.
What, brother?
If I don't get my glasses on, I won't goof up at all. I don't want to see nothing.
The world looked down on me. I have no hope for tomorrow, yeah, or for eternity. Then grace came with mercy, yeah, and heard this orphan plea. Now I've been adopted,
yeah,
from bondage I've been set free.
What about this?
Now I'm no longer a orphan. Someone has rescued me. My garments no longer are tattered. My memory is loyalty. I came so empty and no place to call. But now look what I own. I'm feasting on the manna that comes from God on high. And there is no shortage. There is the best supply. There is a best supply. Now I'm no longer an orphan. Someone has rescued me. My garments no longer are tattered. My family is royalty.
That's right. Amen. We got some microphones up there. If y'all want to incorporate them, this microphone will just turn on that one there.
If you can hear us, okay, we'll just
talk. That's all right. We're probably loud enough.
Yeah.
We're probably loud enough anyway.
Excuse me. Maybe singing a solo. God has been so good to me.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for my family, the church that I've been, and for all my Christian friends. God has been so good to me. I've always had a place to sleep, a place to wear and shoes to eat. God has been so good to me.
Thank you, Lord,
for my mind. The best friends on earth I've had. God has been so good to me. God has been so good to me. I'm thankful for my family, the little church that I attend, and for all my Christian friends. God has been so good to me.
Thank God I live.
Yeah.
Where there's love and liberty, God has been so good to me.
Bless the Lord.
If all I had was to go away, then I still would have to stay. God has been so good to me. God has been so good to me.
What about this?
Good to me.
Amen. I haven't heard that song long. Still true.
I'll tell you. I guess all right if I testify a little bit.
Help yourself, our brother. Liberty here.
Yeah. God has been good to me.
Bless you.
Yeah. On May the 10th, 2010.
Wow.
2011. Sunday afternoon, I went home like I always do. Lay down and take a little nap. She does too. I woke up and I couldn't move. I was completely paralyzed on the right side. I couldn't even get out of bed. I tried to two or three times and I couldn't. I couldn't move. And I called our son, Danny. He come down to the health thing, but it took him about 2 minutes to get there. She didn't know how it was going to get me in the car. She thought she was going to get me in the car. Danny come along. He picked me up, 150 pounds of me, put me in his car, took me down to the hospital. I'd had a stroke. They came me down there for a little while. They sent me to U of L. Went up there late Sunday night. They put me through all, I don't know what they put me through. They ran me through everything. Everything. And I stayed there. God touched me.
Yeah.
I mean, he touched me. He had to.
Amen.
Period.
Amen.
They said, I come home on a Thursday, get out Friday and load the grass. Been going ever since.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, you can't tell me God don't heal.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Because I couldn't move. I had a blockage here. I had two blockages, one here and one over here.
Wow.
And I've been going ever since, brother.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Bless my brother.
So you can't tell me God don't heal.
Amen, brother.
I know better than that.
He's the Lord God who healeth us. Amen. All our infirmities.
Well, he's healed me from cancer.
Amen.
I've been cancer-free now for, six, 7 years.
Glory.
I go back once a year and get a checkup. I'm still not a sign of it.
Amen.
I had arthritis so bad one time that I couldn't even make a fist.
Wow.
I couldn't wear my shoes. I couldn't do nothing. God healed me from that.
Amen.
You see me, God don't heal?
Amen.
I'll argue with you on that point. I know he does.
Amen.
He healed me. He healed me those 3 times I know.
Amen.
There's no other explanation for it.
That's right. I like it on that passion. Amen. Hallelujah.
Let me see, what am I supposed to play here? If I can get started on this one.
Send a message to it, I tell you. Listen to the
title of this song says, Don't That Sound Like Heaven?
Yeah.
You know, that sounds like a good title to me.
Yeah.
Amen. Let me see it.
Huh?
Can you see it?
Yeah, but no, I better do the chorus again.
Okay.
Don't that sound like heaven? Don't that sound like home? Where the Son of God is reigning, and the tears are finally gone. And don't that sound like heaven? And don't that sound like home? Where in the darkness is overtaken, while the light is always on.
Yeah.
There's a window into heaven. I can close my eyes and see. For there are hard earthly struggles, and the soul there is set free. Where the deaf and dumb are shouting, all the blind can finally see. And the crippled legs are dancing across the bridge of sea. Now don't that sound like heaven? And don't that sound like home? Where the Son of God is reigning, and the tears are mighty gone. And don't that sound like heaven? And don't that sound like home? Where the darkness is overtaken, the light is always on. There's a pleasant place in heaven, where the unborn babies play, and the rock and powerful mamas, who chains us slip away. Where all the unwanted children can play that he is the king, and their smile on all our faces, and they spin around and sing. Now don't that sound like heaven?
Heaven.
Or does that sound like home? Where is
sound of God is ringing, and the tears are finally gone. I don't know if that sound like heaven, or that sound like home, where the darkness is overtaken by the light that always knows.
That's right.
The price of heaven is expensive, but don't you worry about the cost. It was paid for by Jesus when he hung upon the cross. And all the things that he promised will be there just like he said. And an eternal reminder of all the precious blood he shed. And all that sound like heaven. And don't that sound like home, where the Son of God is reigning, and the tears are finally gone. And don't that sound like heaven, and don't that sound like home, where the darkness is overtaken, by the light that's always gone.
That's right. That light is Jesus. That's right. Light is Jesus. Amen. 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 Said they let him out at the end of the driveway. Said he looked, and he said, here come two white hairs running from the house towards him.
Okay.
Said one was wiping off flour off of her apron, and he said, I knew it was home. Bless his heart, he had white hair on his head, and I seen him. He said, I seen him coming. He said, I knew it was home. Amen. Looks like I got some more singing here tonight. Hallelujah. I appreciate that song there. It sounds like heaven. And one day we'll be home. Hallelujah. This ain't home. We're soul journey down here. In a journey.
What way you want it?
A flat.
You don't like glasses, Gabe?
The family who prays will never be parted. Their circle in heaven unbroken just will stand. God will say, enter, thy good faithful servant. For the family who prays never shall part. Satan has parted fathers and mothers, filling their hearts with his envy and hate, heading their pathway down to destruction. Leaving their children like orphans to stray. The family who prays will never be parted. Their circle in heaven unbroken shall stand. God will say, enter, thy good faithful servant. For the family who prays never shall part. Wars and tornadoes are taking our loved ones, leaving us with sad aching hearts. But we shall join them over the river, for the family who prays never shall part. The family who prays will never be parted. Their circle in heaven unbroken just stand. God will say, enter, thy good faithful servant. For the family who prays never shall part.
Amen.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, verse number 1, men ought always to pray. Not to faint, but all we do nowadays is faint and seldom ever pray. But the Lord said, we ought always to pray. Paul said there, I believe, is in Ephesians, pray without ceasing. I've been Thessalonians. Pray without ceasing. I've not reached that yet. I do a lot of praying. I love to pray. I know we need to pray more so than not. But I've not reached that pray without ceasing. And that's something I believe that we need in this day and time. Jesus cast out that devil out of that boy, and disciples couldn't. And they come to him privately and said, why could we not cast him out? He said, this kind come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. And they saw themselves powerless because they hadn't been praying. And they weren't up to the task.
Amen.
Jesus cast that devil out of that boy. He had no problem with it at all. Amen. Let's open our Bibles tonight. Ecclesiastes. This morning I truly didn't have a message for tonight. As strange as that might sound. But I was seeking God for a message. And as I was taking my shower this morning, the Lord directed me to this passage. And it's still in my heart what he wanted preaching, what he wanted to be preached tonight. And I'm going to do my best. I'm just a messenger boy anyway. Do my best to deliver this message as he give it to me. And I need your prayers tonight. I had a good service this morning, and I expect us to have a good one tonight. And the good service comes when he shows up. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter number 4, we'll start reading in verse 9. Read down to verse number 12. The Bible says two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that's alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. And how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. We'll stop our reading right there. And I want to try to preach tonight on woe to him that's alone when he falls. Father, we thank you for the infallible, Lord, eternal Word of God that you said we do well to take heed to. I pray, dear Father, tonight you'd open up the treasures of this Word. Open it up to our eyes and the eyes of our understanding. And we may be able to partake of it tonight. Lord, the good things of God. Lord, not just to hear, but to do what it says. Lord, we might apply it to our hearts. That we might be able, Lord, by the help of the Word of God and the Holy Ghost of God, to be better sons and daughters of God. Lord, for these things tonight, we ask for your help. And Lord, I yield myself to you tonight, a vessel. Ask you, dear Father, tonight, Lord, to fill me. And Lord, to use me, I pray, in the capacity, Father, of preaching, Lord. We know that Peter said, let every man minister as the Lord gives ability. And I think a lot of people undertake the task without asking help from God and make a mess of it. Lord, I don't want to do that. I'm asking for your help tonight. Whatever you do, I'll give you the praise and glory. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says here, woe to him that's alone when he falleth. You start reading your Bible, it don't take very long, and you see the fall of man wrote and recorded in the Word of God. It didn't take very long for man to fall from his steadfastness. And people today, somehow they think that they can go without God, and somehow they think that they can make it from one destination to another without the help of God. My pastor made mention one time of a guy coming by, and a farmer's out there working on his fence, and his neighbor come by with his cow, and he said, where are you going there, neighbor? He said, I'm going into town to sell my cow. He said, you mean if the Lord be willing you're going into town to sell your cow? And he said, no, I'm going to sell my cow. And he was gone a little while. He came back. His neighbor still working on the fence. And he looked at this man. He was bleeding from head to toe, hiding, missing everywhere.
He said, what happened? He said, I topped that hill and there were some guys over there beating up, took my cow. I'm going home. Good Lord, be willing, amen. It don't take too long to realize we got to be careful when we think about what we're doing and how to do it, amen. We ought to say, the Lord be willing, we'll do this or that, amen. I mean, that ought to be common knowledge, amen. But we've come down to a day and hour, and you know, people think they can make it without God. And they tell you, they say, you wear this little old necklace. It's got a button on it. And if you fall, you push that button, it's an offline. And somebody say, you need some help. I don't need that necklace. I remember when I first got saved. Told a story. Probably bored some of you to death with it. When I first got saved, I reckon I learned everything the hard way. I had more zeal than anything. Man, we had a good service over at Bethel, and I like them good services. Yeah. We come home, Brother Melvin, I was still three sheets in the Holy Ghost. I told my wife, I said, you go on and go to bed, honey. I'm going upstairs, spending the night with God. And I may sound foolish to you, but I really felt like, boy, I couldn't go to bed. I was still kind of under the spirit. I don't know. But anyway, I went up there in the upper bedroom. We had a house, had three bedrooms upstairs and three bedrooms downstairs. I don't know what we needed that much room. My wife seemed to think a bigger house is what a woman needs. I don't know. It looked to me like more territory she can cover. But anyway, I spent the night upstairs. I spent my night reading the Bible, praying, praising God. Man, it was early in the morning. I was still up praying. I went over and opened up that window. Stuck my head out of that window, that upper bedroom. I looked up there in the heavens. And I said, Lord, the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. And I said, Lord, what a glory you got declaring up there tonight. It sure does look good to me. And I was praying in that window, Brother Vernon. And I fell asleep. Spiritual was willing, but the flesh is weak. And the birds started singing that morning. I woke up and I went right back to praying and reading my Bible. And it was probably about 9 o'clock on a Monday morning. And I heard this. I said, I ain't coming down. Somebody else going to have to answer that door. I ain't coming down, man. I was having me a time. Man, I was up there, Brother Melvin. I mean, I was letting the hallelujahs roll. We had a big old long house. I was up there running. Woo! Thank you, Lord. I was having me a time, and directly, I said, I ain't coming down. And hired on that third knock. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. Somebody's going to have to answer that door. I went down there, opened up that door, and standing right there on my doorstep was a little petite, grandmother-type lady. And she said, sir, I'm selling cancer insurance, and I just wonder if you'd be interested in any. And I about three sheets in the Holy Ghost. I said, no, ma'am, I'm covered by the blood. I said, it covers everything. And she kind of stepped back a little bit. I guess she'd heard a lot of things, making her sales pitch, never nothing like that. She said, sir, I perceive you're a Christian. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I'm a Christian too. She extended the hand of fellowship. And I just read in the Bible that if any man extends the hand of fellowship, you're supposed to receive them. I shook her hand. And I said, ma'am, her first name, I'll tell you part of her first name was Sharon. I said, Sharon, would you like to come in the house and get a glass of tea? She said, I'd love to. You'd invite her in your house. Nice, well-dressed, petite grandmother-type woman. You wouldn't have thought twice about bringing her in your house. You know me, I'm full of it. Brother, my house, my baby's in bed, my wife's in bed. I fixed her that glass of tea, and I mean, I'm still floating in the spirit. I said, Sharon, the Bible says if you so much as give a glass of cold water in His name, you'll receive a reward. I said, Sharon, I give this glass of tea to you in the name of Jesus. It changed everything. She picked that glass of tea up, and she spilt it all over our house. She tried with both hands, tried to pull it to her mouth. I mean, tea going everywhere, and I'm sitting there thinking, something ain't right. I mean, I ain't that smart, but I'm smart enough to realize something wasn't right. She said that glass of tea up down in the counter there, because she couldn't drink it. She went over and fell across our kitchen counter by the kitchen sink, and she started snarling and growling. I thought, it's probably not good. I mean, I'm talking about bad stuff. I mean, row, 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 row.
all. And I'm sitting there thinking, I know I need to do something. But I'm pretty afraid of doing anything right now. I've done it over my head, Gayla. And I went over there and I touched that woman on her back. And I said, Sharon, are you all right? And when I touched her on the back, Linda, she come up off that countertop and she leaped on me. I can't do my teeth like she did because I'd break them out. But she gnashed her teeth at me. The Bible says stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Well, here's that countertop. Here's that kitchen sink. And when she leaped, I'm in the corner. And I'm here, right here. And she's right down on me. And I looked in her eyes. And Brother Melvin, it looked like a wild dog. I mean, it didn't look human. And she's coming down on me like this. And I'm sitting there thinking, this is it. They fixed him fine 80 way, but his head tore off. Slung down the hall like a bowling ball. And God must have drew a line. Because right about the time she's getting ready to lay hands on me, Brother Howard, she stopped, turned, and shot out of the house. I thought, what in the world's going on? And that wasn't all of it. That's all I'll tell you about it. She kept going in and out and all kind of stuff and maybe leave you a cliffhanger here, but it's a long story and I ain't got time to go there. But I'll tell you, buddy, just cause you got a necklace around your neck with a button on it, if you push that button, there may be somebody on the other end pushing the button themselves. There may be somebody on the other end with more troubles than what you got, amen. I'm telling you, the Bible says, woe to him that's alone when he falls. I'm glad I had one there that day, Brother Melvin. If he hadn't intervened, I'll tell you right now, Eddie wouldn't be standing up here tonight. I knew I was in trouble. I've never seen nothing like that in my life. To this day, I've never seen anything that will even compare with that. A woman wouldn't have weighed 100 pounds. And I've been reading the Bible about seven sons of one Sceva. Took it on themselves to cast out a demon out of a man, went up to him, said, we adjourn you by this Jesus whom Paul preaches come out of him. And that devil in that man said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the Bible said he leaped on those men, and they left the house wounded and naked, and the only reason that didn't happen to me is because Jesus said, he belongs to me, devil.
Yeah, right.
Amen. Amen. I thank God for my lifeline. I'm glad I can come to the throne of grace, amen, boldly, make my request known. My uncle, Doyle Matthews, hadn't thought about him a long time. I first got saved. My uncle, Doyle Matthews, come down with cancer, terminal cancer. And I was praying for him and fasting for him, pouring my heart out to God for my uncle, Doyle, and I didn't really know what I was doing, but I was trying to do it. And the Lord put it on my heart to go over and see my Uncle Doyle. I got in my car and drove into town over on Walnut Street. And there my Uncle Doyle was standing in the front yard. I'm not trying to make this a testimonial tonight, but he's kind of important, goes with the message. My Uncle Doyle was out there talking to his neighbor. I pulled in the driveway and got out and I said, Doyle, I've been praying for you. Been fasting for you. The Lord put it on my heart to come over and tell you, you need to bring your situation to Him. And I never will to this day ever forget what my Uncle Doyle. Matter of fact, when I said that, his neighbor said, Doyle, he's telling me right. You need to bring this to the Lord. He'll help you with it. But I don't guess he or me, neither one, was ready for what my Uncle Doyle said. He said, no. He said, they've come out with a new pill. Now I'm trusting in that new pill. I was his pallbearer within 2 weeks, so much for the new pill. But I'll tell you right now, buddy, woe to him that's alone when he falls, amen. I'm telling you, buddy, the day and hour we're living in, people put their confidence in this and in that, amen. And I'm telling you, buddy, I thank God I got one. I can cast my cap on. I got one that cares about me, amen. Man, Melvin. Over this afternoon, getting ready to eat. They come on this commercial about Cindy Crawford. Got this melon, keeps you young. Listen, I don't care if you put butter oil, coconut oil, or whatever. No matter how young you look, you're still going to fill your days. This Brother Bailey's telling me he's 84 years old. He's went 4 years beyond what God said was full.
He said the days of our life are 70. That's 70. And if by strength 80. But then we're cut off and we fly away. I'll tell you, buddy, I don't know how far it's going to go, though, Brother Eddie. I know next month, good Lord be willing, I'll be 60 for the first time in my life. But if there's a world out there that thinks somehow they can take a pill and somehow they can undermine or beat God, as the day's been appointed unto them, amen. We put too much confidence in pills. Too much confidence in doctors. Too much confidence in science. There's some people that are so dumb that they actually believe that science is somehow going to prevail. Brother Hyde, they have them cut their head off. I ain't figured this out. And they have it freeze it in liquid nitrogen. Hope one day they can put it back on a young body and show God that somehow they made an agreement with death that did not have dominion over them. And God said, your agreement with death will not stand. I found it when they cut their head off. They knew they'd made a terrible mistake, decision. Woe to him that's alone when he falls. God's trying to give a warning there. He also gives some advice in the warning. He said two is better than one. And he ain't talking about Adam and Steve and Adam and Eve. He's not talking about same-sex union. He's talking about what he did in the beginning. He made a male and female. You know, the marriage is a beautiful thing. It's amazing how much stuff my wife can remember that I can't. It's amazing how many things I can do she can't, how many things she can do that I can't, and the merge of her ability and my ability, what a beautiful thing that is when we give up against things, obstacles in life. Some people, they got a mind contrary to God. I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care what God says. They're like Frank Sinatra. I did it my way, but they take that stuff, that Cindy Crawford makeup, that Cindy Crawford young looking stuff, and they say she looks as good as 42, she did it 24 or something like that. I don't know. I'll tell you one thing, buddy. The years are like the leaves on the trees. They're flying by. Last year flew by. James chapter 4 verse 13 through 15. Says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, and we'll go into such a city, continue there a year, buy and sell and get gain. That's what everybody wants to do. They want to buy and sell and get gain. I wished I could do that better. Probably be financially better off. But verse 14 says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, but what is your life? You know, a lot of people, their life could be summed up to this. Not just lonely, but lost, because they don't know Him. They're going through this world without God, without hope in this world. And they're alone. And even in a crowd of a multitude of people, they're as lonely as they would be on an island, alone. What is your life? James said. He said it's even a vapor that appears for a little while. You know, I'll live some lonely days, but I ain't been alone since April 27th, 1988. I bear witness to those miracles Brother Bailey shared with us tonight. He said he wasn't alone. He said he called his son. Son come, picked him up, put him in the car. Said he wasn't alone. He's able to come home, moldy grass. Said he wasn't alone when they diagnosed him with cancer. He said, I know the Lord healed me. I know the Lord helped me. And I'm glad, amen, that the Bible says that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. I'm glad, praise God, we don't have to be alone. James said, what's your life? Are you lonely? Are you lost? He said, it's even a vapor that appear for a little while and then vanish away. People that are lost, they don't realize, buddy, the clock's against them. We were over there talking to Alvary this afternoon, and I was telling him, I said, Alvary, another year done flew by. Avalee, I said, you didn't get saved. And I said, the likelihood, Avalee, that this year is going to fly by. And you won't get saved. And I remember looking in his eyes, and I could tell I had his attention.
I said, Abilene, you need to get to Jesus. And you need to get to Him now. Because I'll tell you what, buddy, the same hope of getting saved, there's also the danger of death coming upon someone and then dying lost without God. Felix told Paul when he reasoned with him temperance and righteousness and judgment to come, the Bible said Felix trembled. And he said, go thy way, Paul. When I have a more convenient season, I'll call for you. That's the way people think about getting saved. They don't realize they don't have as long as they think. James said, verse 15, he said, you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live. You know, God's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, don't be alone when you fall. He says, not only we ought to say the Lord, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But the Bible says in Acts chapter 17, verse 28, for in Him we live and move and have our being. He said, I'm come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. In John chapter 10, verse 10, people today, not only are they content to live lives apart from God, not only are they content to build great empires, that they can boast of what they've done. But I'll tell you what, when an 80-some-year-old billionaire jumps out of a building because he had success in the world, but he had emptiness inside and he didn't want to live, that shows you what happens to someone that's alone. I remember one time I worked hard that day at Donnelly's and I got beat down pretty bad and I was a little discouraged. I was driving home, Sister Bailey. Had the radio on. And there's a woman called in on that radio station. And I'm low in a snake's belly. She called in. She said, I'm a millionaire several times over. And I heard her say with my own ears, she said, I'll give every penny of it for one night's peace. And it finally registered with me. Here I was, didn't have two nickels rubbed together, but I had peace that she couldn't afford. And I had those true riches that she needed. Amen?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, the Bible talks about woe in him who's rich in this world, but not rich in God. Those people who ain't rich with God are going to be alone when they fall.
Amen.
We went over to that little old play they had over here at this church right up the road up here. One of the things in it put on that scene, the devil come in there. And he said, I hate you. He said, I'm coming for you. And them teenagers we have with us, they's all scared. But I'll tell you what he's got to do. He's got to get permission to lay hands on me. Amen. You remember old Job there?
Yep.
The devil said, you build a hedge about him.
Yep.
He said, you take that hedge down. I'll show you. I'll make him curse you to your face. God pulled that hedge back just a little bit just so we could know what kind of man Job was. And the devil come against Job. Old Job fell down. Lost everything he had, took a pot shirt, and all at that time he cast dust on his head and shaved his head. Said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. The devil was still wanting another shot at him. He said, let me try one more time. Yea, flesh for flesh, all that a man have he'll give for his flesh. And the Lord said, one more time, buddy, don't you kill him. The devil come down and smote Job with sore bowls from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. Job took a piece of broken pottery as he sat down in those ashes. Scraped himself, his wife come by, bitter, she just buried 10 children, and I can only imagine a mother bearing 10 children, how bitter she'd be. She said, doest thou still retain thine integrity? Why don't you curse God and die? He said, I might be down, but I ain't alone. He said, shall we not receive good at the hand of the Lord, and shall we not receive also evil? He said, you speak like a foolish woman. And on further in Job, about Job chapter 25, Job, he couldn't understand his dilemma, but he raised up with a victory shout and said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. I'll tell you what, buddy, I'm never going to be alone. Brother Vernon commented on this morning. He said, Lord, I'm with you always, even to the end of this world. I've never had a lonely day.
No.
Since April 27, 1988, I've always had someone to tell my troubles to, Galen.
I've always had someone I can run to and say, have you got time? We need to talk. I've never been alone since that day. And the world tries to substitute things for God. But God said, who do you compare me to? There's nothing to compare him with. He's in a category all his own. I'm glad that he's a friend of sinners. I'm glad that he's a friend that loveth at all times. I'm glad he's someone you can run to. Any hour of the day, you don't have to push no button on no lifeline. You ain't got to take no pill. You ain't got to go through no program. No 7-step. Just 1-step. Fall down in front of him. It's rich mercy to all that call upon him. And you'll never be lonely again. I tell you what, boy, this world's in trouble. They're in God trouble. That's the biggest, worst kind of trouble you can be in. They're in God trouble. They want the blessing of God, but they don't want mention of God. Oh, God bless America. I believe Jeremiah Wright might have got it right. What he said about America. That's about what it's getting. That's about what it is. That's about what it deserves. He might not have been so wrong when he said, God damn America. And I hate to use that language, but that's what he said. He might not have been that wrong. Because I'll tell you what, the Bible said righteousness exalteth a nation. But sins are reproached to any people. I heard that man say that statement. I didn't really understand it at the time. How wicked this nation had become. But since that day, I saw the tires fall. And I saw us become vulnerable to our enemies. And I saw why we were. You remember Moses told the children of Israel? He said, don't you go out. God's not with you. And they went out anyway. See, they sent spies in the land. Only two brought back a good report, Caleb and Joshua. When they seen it messed up, they said, they're sinning, we're going. Moses told them, he said, don't go, the Lord ain't with you. And they went, and them enemies mowed them like grass. That's where we're at today. We're trying to stand against our enemies without the help of God. And I'll tell you what, buddy, we're doing what Jeremiah said. Jeremiah Wright, nations that forget God will be turned into hell. He was not so wrong in his statement. I wish the language had been so crude, but I'll tell you what, America's going to be alone when it falls. I thank God there's still churches in America. There's still work going on in America after a godly sort. There's still some gleaning. There's still some men getting saved and women getting saved. And I thank God for it. But I'll tell you what, one day America's going to fall. No matter how hard they try, like Humpty Dumpty, all the king's men, all the king's horses couldn't build Humpty Dumpty back together again. Humpty Dumpty took a fall. We're on that same Humpty Dumpty wall. We think we're above God. God winked at that. The Bible said in Acts 17, He winked at that. Commanded men everywhere to repent. Woe to him that's alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Somebody's falling right now, Linda. They're falling. Now, even the atheists, when they fall down, all them big names, they're dying, they're falling down, and they're realizing they made a mistake because they tried to live without God, tried to live godless lives, lives that somehow or another wasn't no place for God in them. And then it come to an end. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs, says it twice. Proverbs 14 and Proverbs 16. Says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but then that way is a way of death. You see, you can live those kind of lives, and how are they going to end? God asked Israel, what are you going to do with the swelling of Jordan? When it comes to an end, how's it going to fall? When it comes to an end, it's going to be, woe is me, for I didn't let him be Lord. Yeah. I didn't let him be God. I was like Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. I'll tell you right now, buddy, when the smoke clears, it'll all be known. Why not just fix it before it falls? Why not fix it before it comes to that? Why not just say, hey, I'm going to make an eternal decision tonight from this day on. I'm going to do that which is pleasing in the sight of God. And I'm never going to be alone. I'll tell you, buddy, it ain't hard to please God. The Bible says in Him was life, and the life was light of men. Jesus said, as John 1:4, Jesus said in John 5:40, you would not come to me that you might have life. Woe to him that's alone when he falls. I'll tell you what, you can stay young looking all you want to. You can dress like a teenager all you want to. But I'll promise you this. Like David said, there's but a step between me and death. It's coming. It's coming fast. And the only cure I know for it's Jesus. Amen. He said, I conquered it. He said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. We're overcomers through him. He's got the keys. Amen.
Yeah.
Of death and hell. And I'm glad, Brother Melvin. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. One day, you'll take a trip down that valley. I was at Bowling Green, not too far from Campbell Lane, and all I was doing was having an MRI done. And he's in there. She said, you want to listen to music while you're in there? And you know me, old spiritual Brother Eddie. I said, well, yeah, I'd like to listen to music, but you ain't got the kind I'd like to listen to. She said, what kind you want to listen to? I said, I want to listen to gospel music. And that little old nurse, she went in there born. Moved that dial. She said, how's that? I said, thank you. I put them headphones on, and they was doing that MRI. And it would go like click and make a scan. Click and make a scan. They got right here. It went click and made a scan. It heated up when it done that. When it heated up, she had monitors on me. She said, Mr. Wade, you all right? I said, no, I'm having a little trouble getting my breath. She said, you want me to bring you out? I said, yeah, you might ought to. She brought me out. And man, I'm not real smart anyway. And I'm sitting there trying to get my breath. And I couldn't get my breath. And she said, are you by yourself? I said, no, my wife's with me. She said, you want me to go get her? I said, yeah, you might ought to. Remember, they went and got my wife, this young nurse did. Brought my wife in there, and she looked at me laying there. She said, he ain't doing no good. Nurse said, you want me to go get a doctor? My wife said, yeah, you might ought to. They went and got a doctor, and that doctor looked at me, a doctor. He said, he ain't doing no good. Dial 911. They dialed 911. The ambulance come sliding in there, jumped out. I mean, stuff flying everywhere, rigging me up one and the other. When they saw me, first thing they said, he ain't doing no good. Old story, but I like telling it. And they was working on me. And I just happened to look over at that little old nurse beside me. She's shaking like a leaf, Brother Vernon. And I looked over and I said, honey, I said, have you ever seen a Christian die? I was pretty sure I was going to die. I'd never been there before, but I was pretty sure I was dying. But I was okay with it. But anyway, I told her, I said, have you ever seen a Christian die? And she couldn't even answer me. She's shaking so bad. I said, don't leave my bedside. I said, I want to show you what a difference Jesus makes. Man, they're working on me. They're putting oxygen on me and rigging all kind of stuff up. And they're thump, thump, thump and all that. And my wife's over there. And I thought this is it. I started quoting Psalm 23. And I got down there to that part about the valley. Yay! Though I walk through the valley, the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for they are with me. They are rod and my staff, they comfort me. And I got to thinking on the positive side of dying. I thought, well, praise the Lord. I ain't going to have to work no more. I ain't going to have to worry no more. And got one foot over in heaven. And my wife come over there, jumped up my face, put a finger in my face, and said, you got a granddaughter having a birthday this Saturday, and you need to be there. And all of a sudden, buddy, got back in the real world, took the oxygen mask off. They said, you can't do that. I said, I just did. You don't understand. It's all right now. They said, you left a sign of waiver. I said, where did I sign it? But I'll tell you one thing. I wasn't alone.
Amen.
I was okay with it.
Yeah.
One day you'll be there. It's kind of like being on a roller coaster ride. There ain't no getting off.
That's true.
I thought about that. I thought, ain't nothing I can do. It's in your hands, Lord. If you want me to go, I'm ready. If you want me to stay, I will. I'll never forget that day. My wife came up there and interrupted my exodus. I almost got on the streets of Globe, Brother Vernon. I could just feel kind of like pulling your foot out of your shoe. It felt like my soul was coming out of my face. Like I was coming out like it's right here. And she got up out of my face and put that finger in my, like putting your foot back in your shoe. I said, I'm okay now, boys. And to their dismay and disappointment, I went home like you're talking about. Mowed the yard that day and probably done a bunch of fishing and other stuff. But I wasn't alone, I can tell you that. I don't know what happened to that little old nurse. My wife got up in my face, and I think that little old nurse may have hit the door. I don't know. And I'll tell you what, that day will come to you. And it'll come to me again. Even though Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead, even though he sat down and eat a meal with Jesus, he still had to die again. Woe to him that's alone when he falleth, for he hath not another. I didn't really preach it like I had it in my heart, but that'll have to do. I don't know how it is with you tonight, but I'll tell you one thing. I recommend a good dose of Jesus for what life throws at you. Because I want you to know it comes at you hard. But God said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Take the Lord with you wherever you go. Father, we thank you for the message tonight. Thank you, Lord, for these that are here. Lord, I pray, dear Father, tonight, that maybe something might have been said tonight that would help someone through the challenges, Lord, to be thrown against them this week. Lord, we just deliver that which you give to us. I pray, dear Father, tonight, throughout this week, we'll consider the thought of either being alone or asking the Lord to be with us this week, each and every day. And Lord, whatever you do, we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to ask everybody to stand tonight. I don't know how the Word of God went to you. I know how it went to me. Maybe tonight it brought some thoughts that you're not comfortable with tonight. You know what to do about that? Just come up here and get it settled. Just say, Lord, I don't ever want to be alone. I don't know what's on tomorrow. I don't know what the news is going to broadcast. There may be an earthquake tonight that levels the cities that men have built up. I'll promise you this, I won't be alone. Amen. Go ahead, brother man.
176.
Well, my soul.
More about Jesus.
You need to come tonight. Message went with you tonight, but I hope it's well with your soul. I hope you rejoice in the Lord, no matter what the devil throws at you. Man, every now and then I just want to say, that old devil, is this all you got, buddy? I'm glad, praise God, that the Lord, he told Abraham, he said, fear not, Abraham. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, he said, I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward. The same Lord that said that to Abraham, he says that to you and me. Fear not. He said he's our shield and exceeding great reward. Anybody got a word in your heart tonight? Thank you for coming tonight.
Try not to be very long. Did go a little longer than I meant to go, but...
So, Eddie, I'm just thinking that while you was preaching tonight, the gentleman that I requested prayer for this morning...
Ross Curry.
...from the call that I got last night, and as soon as I got home today, I made another call to try to find out about him. I just had him on my mind ever since they called.
Yeah.
And they said, well, while you've been at church, he went on home.
Wow.
He was called on out to me. Gone.
Gone out.
So, I thought of him. He was an elderly man. And
right.
I didn't know him. May have seen him once or twice, just, in passing by or something. But he lived off down in Cumberland County. Lived way off in there by himself. And I thought, knowing nothing about the man, but I've just got a feeling that he might have been alone when
right.
he had to go to meet God. Bad, isn't it? It's bad to be alone when we have our ups and downs here in life and we have to deal with them. But it's going to be worse when we come down to meet death.
That's right.
And be alone. So, maybe the prayers and that I tried to pray for him and that we prayed here this morning.
Amen.
Just maybe somehow that it had a little, something good could come out of it. We don't know.
I think there'll be a lot of surprise in heaven. Amen.
I had an experience, and I won't take it just a minute, but I was in down in Johnson City in a revival a few years ago, and the evangelist got a phone call one night after we got in from service, and before we went to bed, he said, "Preacher, we got a funeral due tomorrow," and said, "You can go help me." I've preached a message around this or used this in the message. Just one life to live.
Yeah.
And this, we got to the, we were to meet him at the cemetery. We got there, and there wasn't enough to carry the casket from the lane up to the grave.
Wow.
Myself and the preacher and the driver of the hearse and the people at the grave diggers, we carried the man up to the grave.
Sad commentary.
About four people sitting under the little tent.
Yeah.
And what a bearing that's had on my life since that happened as a younger man. He only had one life to live, and he lived it and wasted it.
Right.
And come down to die, and he had to die alone. So, it was a great thought in the message tonight.
That's a sad commentary. My pastor used to always tell me, you can tell how big an impact you've had on the world at your funeral. I had many people show up to say goodbye, and that's sad to hear about that funeral because I've seen a lot of that. And they've actually, had to get people, like he said, to carry the coffin, to carry it to the graveside. And it's sad. My pastor done a funeral one time, nobody showed up, and it's really sad. Maybe somebody else. I think Brother Melvin had something to say tonight.
You talking about roller coaster. We was, Mark and me and some others, I guess, down at Tennessee one time down at Tarpeyland. And I asked Mark about riding a roller coaster. And she just kind of afraid of roller coasters, And I said, well, it ain't hit as little, and it ain't very big. And the guys around there, boy, it was rougher than I thought it would be.
Y'all both scream out.
That scares you don't know there. I said, you can't get off.
Can't get off.
That's kind of like life is,
That's right.
You're born in this world. You're going to fish a ride, ain't you?
That's right.
No matter how rough it gets, it'll be a lot easier if man gets the Lord with him.
Lord will help us.
Yeah, he'll get you out of a better place than this.
Sure enough.
I'm glad to know born again. That visit today is so wonderful, them people. This guy, one guy, that he's a friend of mine. I've known him since he was young.
Yeah.
Used to go to town and stare at him and play pool, go to the movies and stuff, Billy Huckabee, he lived down the road there.
Yeah.
And never been saved. And we went to see him this afternoon.
That's good, too.
Wife and his wife's sick, and he's sick. He's had cancer and had treatments, and the cancer came back and he's taking shots. Now, I'd like y'all to remember them.
Yeah.
And him and his wife both need to be saved, They've not been saved.
So, amen.
I think a lot of that
I've seen. We had a good visit there. It's really good. It's good for them, good for us too. It kind of encouraged us to do more of it. We're going to try to, revive our visitation program. I get some men with, a burden or desire to see people get in church, get saved, get right with God.
It's a wonderful spirit there, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's really good.
And they saved me hungry too. But,
makes it better when people are interested in being visited and talk to you about the Lord.
Amen. Yeah. I appreciate everybody coming tonight. Let's all stand and I'll get Brother Melvin, if he would, dismiss us for the prayer tonight.
Thank you, Lord, for a good day and prayer and ministry today. And Lord, we thank you for being with us for this session. God, Lord, we many of those.
Yes.